Howdy do, buggaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Today is Wednesday. It is the 21st of October. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
And I'm not sure what this team name is, but also today with me, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello. Thank you for having me back.
Glad you're here. Now, Charlotte, I'd like to start with a piece you wrote up yesterday over at MacObserver.com about basically Apple versus advertising is kind of how this sounds, because advertisers are certainly taking it personally.
They are, yeah. As those who you have read, and you should have been, Andrew's regular updates on kind of iOS 14 anti-tracking and privacy stuff will notice, advertisers and social networks related to advertisers were not that happy about the stance Apple took, introducing a variety of anti-tracking features. It's certainly making it easier to see what is tracking you on when you're using your iPhone and so on. So it's a number of different transparency tools that are in iOS 14, which I personally really like. Yeah. But a host of advertisers, as you say, are not very happy about this. They think it's making their job harder. And actually, one has gone as far to tell DigiDay, which is a kind of ad industry publication, that he considers Apple taking an extreme position. Others are very concerned that, you know, they say people will start finding workarounds to the positions and Apple has taken, and so on. And it's an interesting dilemma, because Apple has made privacy a total virtue of its products. You know, the privacy, that's iPhone phrase, you know, the increased anti-tracking and transparency tools within Safari 14 for the Mac, even before we got Big Sur.
Yeah.
We've already mentioned the stuff on iOS 14. So there's a lot that Apple is doing. So it doesn't seem to me that a few upset advertisers are going to particularly change Apple's position on this. Now, I'm not, you know, I don't work closely enough with the advertising industry to know if that's a good thing or not. As a consumer, I'm largely happy with it. I'm happy to get a few less targeted ads and perhaps less relevant adverts for the sake of some increased privacy, but also, like, we've all bought things from adverts that are useful. So there is a balance, and I do understand that.
So I do have the benefit of working closely with advertisers. No, it is how we support ourselves here. In a few minutes, Kelly, in fact, is going to do a read from one of those advertisers that we work with, right? But the read today is what I would call contextual targeting, right? So, you know, and by that, what I mean is it's going to be from a company, they changed their name. I call them Doria, but they changed their name to Raptic, right? And they make cases, and they make really nice cases, as an aside. That's not because they're sponsors. I just have happened to use them. And my wife has one on her phone now. But that's the point, right? Is it is relevant to the content of this show, or at the very least, relevant to what we know about you as a listener in general, right? Yeah. So it might be, you know, let's say LinkedIn Jobs wants to sponsor this show, right? Which they have in the past.
Yes.
Now, is that relevant to our conversations here? Not nearly as much as the, you know, Raptic cases are. However, LinkedIn Jobs, you know, we know because we've done some polling of you folks, again, in general, no specific personally identifiable information, nothing even close to it, is out there. And we know based on them, you know, choosing this demographic that is you, and also the fact that it has performed in the past, like, says something about, okay, this is relevant to our audience. But what's not happening on this podcast, and I can say that definitively because I am the one that controls where the feed goes.
Yeah.
What is not happening on this podcast is there are no direct audio inserted ads that are specifically targeted to you, the one listener that's hearing this right now. Now, I know there's thousands of listeners hearing this right now, but it is possible on podcasts to do that kind of targeting where they know you are downloading this. And so, you know, on the fly, inserting an ad into the show that is targeted at you because of things they know about you, mm-hmm. not things they know about the type of people that listen to this show, one of which includes you, right? That's a very different thing. Yeah. And I am thrilled that Apple is taking the privacy stance that they are. In this regard, there are times where Apple's privacy as a feature thing, it becomes a bit of a headache for us.
Yes.
But in terms of advertising specifically, I think it's great. And I had the benefit, I'm too old, right? So I've had the benefit of experiencing the internet ad business before we had all this tracking. And it was blissful, both from my standpoint as a publisher and from my standpoint as someone that drives around the web and, of course, podcasts, but, the web earlier, because the ads that I saw were targeted to the type of content that I was choosing to consume at that moment. You know,
right.
It was, if I was reading the Mac Observer, I would get ads about the Mac. If I was reading a website about buying houses, I might see ads about houses in my area, but I don't get ads about houses in my area when I visit a website about an Apple product, except I do now, right? The web is sort of a lost cause, and Apple is trying to solve that by allowing some level of personalization per website without that information being translatable to you, the same you, when you visit a different website. And I think it's great. I'm glad they've done what they've done to Safari. I'm glad they've done what they're doing to Big Sur and what they've done to iOS 14. And that's fantastic. I don't think they're going far enough, because your podcast app, or Apple's podcast app, I should say, is doing nothing currently to prevent podcasts from tracking you, and then, as a follow-on, advertisers from tracking you.
Right. I'm really pleased you brought this up, because this is an important distinction, because while advertisers are complaining in some regard about some of the moves Apple's made, as I say in the piece, it's worth noting that publishers are still able to serve personalized ads within their own apps.
Yes.
That's another thing that's worth noticing. Apple is not hindering developers, publishers' ability to make money with its move. It's, from my perspective as a consumer and also someone obviously who works for a site that has podcasts and adverts on the website, and we use YouTube and all those kind of things, there's a balance, right? And
yep.
Apple seems to me to be taking a pretty good approach to finding that balance, to both the benefits of people who want to provide content that people want and be paid for it,
mm-hmm.
and also yeah. to not have developers, publishers, whoever, stalk people around the web.
Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. with podcasts, the stalking is increasing, and we are getting more and more pressure from advertisers and their agents to allow what they call attribution tracking. And as short as I can, what that is they could, on this show, they don't, because we don't allow it. Right. But what they could do is intercept the download. So you say you're going to download from us, but really what happens is you choose to download from a company like Podsites, and because that's in our RSS feed, not ours, again, but, for example, it could be, but it's not. It's Podsites in our RSS feed. Podsites says, great, I'm going to track the user agent, so, Apple Podcasts app, and IP address, aka you, mm-hmm. from, when, and then I'm going to hand it off and let you get the file from the Mac Observer. Okay, now we know that someone with that user agent and that IP address has listened to this episode that has sponsors A and B in it. Then they go put a tracking pixel on the website of sponsors A and B, and they collect the same data, user agent and IP address, and then they match it up on the back end. That's mm-hmm. why GDPR exists, because that kind of stuff can be used for creepy purposes. It's not
yes.
creepy in and of itself. And when they came to us 15 years ago on the web and said, will you do this? It'd be great to know that even if they don't use your coupon code, or they don't click on the ad, we'll know that they saw it there, and you'll get credit.
You'll get the credit.
Like, sounds like a great idea, or sounded like a good idea at the time. The problem is, once we have that kind of data about you, we humans are irresponsible with how with any limits that we could put on that data, because we put none on them.
Right.
And we abuse the data, and this data will be abused from podcasts. And so I hope Apple continues with what I hear are plans to adapt the podcast app to let you know what's happening. Marco Arment, who makes Overcast, mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't have the beta version, so I know I'm not breaking any NDAs or anything. I have heard from many people publicly that the current beta of Overcast, and it may have already been released to us all, and I'm just not aware, will identify which trackers are in use on the podcasts you listen to. So at the very least, you know, because otherwise it's non-opt-in. There's no way to opt in because you don't know before you listen. So anyway,
Apple
could go further.
There's a lot to it.
Yes.
And it really comes down to awareness, right? I mean, that's really what all of this is about, is do you know what your podcatcher is doing with that data? Do you know, how the file's being downloaded, where the ads are coming from, all of that? So the awareness is the piece of that, like if we were talking about this on Security Friday, for example, that would be the thing that we would be telling you. Like, we're not trying to freak you out, but you should know this is a thing that's happening, and it's good to be aware of it because it's obviously not going away.
So Overcast does have the privacy screen. It came out a month ago, so I'm speaking way late on any beta version.
Okay.
It's no longer in beta.
There's one comment that I think is a CTO of a location-based firm.
I want to talk about that in a minute, though, Charlotte.
Okay. But now
first of all,
you're gonna do an ad.
Yes, first of all, I want to take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor this week is MacPaw. And MacPaw makes an app called Clean My Mac X, and it's cleaning optimization software for your Mac. So, as great as Macs are, they still need maintenance once in a while. So this lets you run regular maintenance scripts and help clear up old log files and cache files that you don't need anymore that are just taking up space, and your computer parsing them sometimes takes a while. So this all happens. It's really lightweight. It's very easy to do. When you use it, it's very obvious. There's a smart scan section. You can use that and delete things, like we were just talking about awareness. You can be aware of all the things it does before it does them. It's gearing up to be fully compatible with Big Sur. And so, even when you're ready for the upgrade, you'll be able to take this with you. It gives you a lot more process insight into the stuff your computer is doing than Activity Monitor does. So it gives you a lot of opportunity to make sure that your Mac is running its best. And you can find out more about Clean My Mac X and download it for free at macpaw.app/TDO. That's macpaw.app/TDO, macpaw.app/TDO. And we'd like to thank them for sponsoring the show today. Now, Charlotte, back to your piece. I want to talk a little bit about the comment that you wanted to bring up.
Yeah, just a quick one to kind of finish off the conversation, perhaps. I think a lot of what Dave was saying. I think this is talking more about in-app adverts, maybe website adverts. But Aaron McKee, who's a CTO of a location-based ad tech firm called Bliss, he said Apple's measurement solution, which is called SCAD Network, he described it as so much less surgical. And I just found that phrasing quite telling, perhaps.
Wow. Yes, it is.
That's the issue, is it's less surgical, right?
Yeah.
And so we want more surgical, or at least we think we want more surgical. Or if more surgical is available to us, we definitely aren't going to ignore it. And and when I say us, I mean marketers. Yeah.
This is one of those, what could possibly go wrong, right? If you just let these random companies scoop up all this data about you and assemble it, while you know nothing about it. Like, how could that possibly be a bad idea, right?
I feel like I need to interject something here just so people don't think what I was talking about not happening to them just happened to them. I had the wrong list of sponsors up. I had the list of sponsors for the Mac Observer website up, not for the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast up. That's why I talked about a different company sponsoring this episode. And as soon as you started the Mac Pod Read, Kelly, I was like, crap, what did I get wrong? Or
oh, no.
Like, which one of us is wrong? Yeah. And it was like, oh, no, Kelly's on it. Like, Yeah. We're all good. So that was the right sponsor. We all heard the same one. It's MacPaw. It's good. No worries. Sorry.
And for a little bit more inside baseball, Dave says the Daily Observation sponsor this week. And I went, oh my God, I'm looking at it right here. Do I have the day wrong? Oh no. So yeah, while Dave was speaking, I was having a panic attack.
So we had asynchronous panic attacks together.
Yes.
So there you go.
Yes. Welcome to the world of advertising, kids.
You see, the joy of being a minion is I don't have to worry about this stuff.
But it's interesting, right? That there is only one sponsor that everyone hears for this episode, and it wasn't an intentional conversation to have, but it's a very interesting one.
Yes.
So there you go.
And also, you know, but Dave, like the same rules hold, right? People listening to this show are interested in Macs, are probably interested in Mac applications. And so I'm talking about a thing that's available on your computer. And
totally. Yeah, it proved its own point.
Yeah.
Accidentally. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah. Yep. So, and you know, also iPhone cases. In fact, let's talk a little bit more about iPhone cases. Charlotte, you asked a very interesting question in our morning meeting about everybody and their new iPhones as you were trying to kind of take a poll.
Yeah. So while you were all asleep and it was my morning, I spent a lot of my morning reading iPhone 12 and 12 Pro reviews, which all dropped simultaneously. There was clearly an embargo that lifted kind of yesterday around midday-ish, depending on where in the world you were.
Mm-hmm.
They were very, very interesting. A lot of them focus, I thought quite rightly, on why the camera is the big thing to be excited about, particularly in the Pro, not particularly the 5G capabilities. That's despite the Wall Street Journal's Joanna Stern heading to MetLife Stadium to test out 5G to prove her point that's kind of one of the few places where you're really going to get the benefit of it.
Right.
But they all talk about the camera. But one of the things that came out a lot in the reviews was mention of dropping it and ceramic shield. Now, for those of you who haven't read it yet, John Martellaro's description and breakdown of what ceramic shield is brilliant, and I highly recommend you all read it. But the idea is it's a layer to protect your phone, basically, is the mm-hmm. TLDR version. As I say, read John's brilliant breakdown of it. And it made me wonder, when we were talking, is there a point buying an iPhone case? Because, you know, some people prefer not to have one, some and see the kind of beauty of the iPhone. A lot of the reviews I read commented on how nice, both in your hand and design-wise, the iPhone feels now. And so I wasn't sure, and I was tempted. I mean, I don't particularly trust myself with a lovely new device, but I was sort of tempted not to buy a case, and I was interested in what both you guys and our listeners thought.
Yeah. I have been known to drop my phone occasionally. I've gotten much better at this. Interestingly, as phones have gotten more expensive. Think about that. But also, one time I dropped my phone without a case and it hit the corner just right and did goof up the screen. And I have had that. So I have had that happen. I think that was the only time I ever had a problem with the screen being an issue, because the rest of the time I have it in a case and it seems like it's always a corner that lands first. And so, you know, if you get those ones with a little bit of space in the corners for absorbing shock like that, it seems like that does the job. I also like having the tiny bit of rim around the edges of the screen so that when you lay it flat, it's not laying on the glass itself. So even ceramic shield, I personally will usually get a case. I'm not getting one of those like giant OtterBox, you know, it looks like I'm going to try and, you know, use it for a football game in MetLife Stadium or something. And I need the phone to come out of it at the end. Okay. So I'm usually pretty lean and mean, usually a clear case. I do usually get a case also for like a credit card or something so that I can carry around one thing with me. In the olden days when I went to conferences and stuff, it was nice to be able to not have to bring my wallet with me everywhere and just have my cards in the back.
Yeah. And the introduction of MagSafe, obviously, Apple has released a range of MagSafe wallets that kind of clip on the back, and so they look pretty nice as well. It just made me consider, because my default would always have to have been to get a case, and I wonder how much faith we as users who have spent, you know, maybe $1,100 pounds on a lovely new iPhone are prepared to risk not putting a case on it, but also how much does that diminish the experience? Now, Apple's answer, of course, would be buy a case, but buy one of the lovely ones we made for you.
Yes, buy one of our $50 cases.
Otherwise, you're casing it wrong.
Yes.
Pretty much, yeah.
I think Apple would prefer you not to use a case, but if you're going, if you must, we've made these that you know, are somewhat acceptable, but not really. Yeah, yes. I am a case... I have always kept a case on my iPhone. It's interesting. I feel when I have my phone, and this is just a change thing, but when I have my phone in my pocket without a case, it feels too thin. I know that would not last if I were to continue down that path for about 2 weeks. I would really like the thinness of it, but it does feel too thin. That said, I don't like a super thick case. I do prefer one thinner than not. I am someone, for the last year, I've had a Grip2U case on, which has a built-in, it's a little strap, a rubberized strap on the back that I can like slide my hand or my fingers in and really, truly, securely hold the phone with one hand, which is nice for, you know, walking down a street or even just walking around the house. So I find that I like that. I'm able to use my phone one-handed far easier that way. But I could get used to a phone without a case, I suppose. What I probably wouldn't ever change, or at least don't have any intention of changing, is ever since they came out, I have been a huge fan, user, proponent of the tempered glass shields to put over the glass on the front of the phone. I hated the plastic ones because they felt like, you know, crinkly plastic, but they did protect the phone somewhat. The tempered glass was totally my jam when it came out, because it was like, great, I still can feel glass, but it's also protected. And I'll tell you, these things have saved me, and more, even more than me. I don't drop my phone all that often, but they have saved my family's phones time and again, because one of these can shatter and you just take it off and put another one on. You can usually get two or three of them for about $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I will continue to do that with the iPhones 12, despite any ceramic improvements.
I imagine I'm going to get a case too. I just think I'm going to feel a little bit bad about it when I hold the pretty phone for the first time.
Yeah, I do. I get that. It ends pretty quickly, that I bad do. Feeling.
Yeah, but the same as Dave, if I take it out of the case for something, you know, the occasional case scrubbing, what have you, pick up my phone for something and like, oh, hello. Like, this is a much nicer experience than it was in the case. And I do enjoy that, you know, couple of hours or whatever, where I don't have anything on my phone. But, anyway, it's up to you. I would like to find out where anybody weighs in on this case debate, if there is one. If you think there's not one, absolutely let us know. Observations@macobserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and leave comments in the show notes. That's going to do it for us today. So thank you both for being here. Dave, thank you, as always, for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
Charlotte, thanks so much for being here.
See you. Thanks.
I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to all of you again tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other, and let's be careful out there.